that he had made some lifelong enemies, and it was no consolation to know that he probably wouldn't have them for very long. Right, hold my staff. Now, you bunch of miserable backsliders, this is going to stop, do you hear? First thing tomorrow, up at dawn, 3 times round the quadrangle and back here for physical jerks. Balanced meals, study, healthy exercise, and the bloody monkey goes to a circus first thing.
Ooh.
Several of the older wizards shut their eyes. But first, said Albert, lowering his voice, you will oblige me by setting up the rite of Ashk-Ente. I have some unfinished business, he added. Mort strode through the cat-black corridors of the pyramid, with Isabel hurrying along behind him. The faint glow from his sword illuminated unpleasant things. Offla the crocodile god was a cosmetic advert compared to some of the things the people of Tsort worshipped. In alcoves along the way were statues of creatures apparently built of all the bits God had left over.
What are they here for?
Whispered Isabel.
The Tsortian priests say they come alive when the pyramid is sealed and prowl the corridors to protect the body of the king from tomb robbers, said Mort.
What horrible superstition.
Who said anything about superstition? Said Mort absently.
They really come alive?
All I'll say is when the Tsortians put a curse on a place, they don't mess about.
Mort turned a corner, and Isabel lost sight of him for a heart-stopping moment. She scurried through the darkness and cannoned into him. He was examining a dog-headed bird.
Ugh, she said. Doesn't it send shivers up your spine?
No, said Mort flatly.
Why not?
Because I am Mort,
he turned, and she saw his eyes glow like blue pinpoints.
Stop it.
I can't.
She tried to laugh. It didn't work.
You're not death, she said. You're only doing his job.
Death is whoever does death's job.
The shocked pause that followed this was broken by a groan from further along the dark passage. Mort turned on his heel and hurried towards it. He's right, thought Isabel. Even the way he moves. But the fear of the darkness that the light was dragging towards her overcame any other doubts, and she crept after him, around another corner, and into what appeared, in the fitful glow from the sword, to be a cross between a treasury and a very cluttered attic.
What's this place? She whispered. I've never seen so much stuff.
The king takes it with him into the next world, said Mort.
He certainly doesn't believe in travelling light. Look, there's a whole boat and a gold bathtub.
Doubtless he will wish to keep clean when he gets there.
And all those statues.
Those statues, I'm sorry to say, were people, servants for the king, you understand.
Isabel's face set grimly.
The priests give them poison.
There was another groan from the other side of the cluttered room. Mort followed it to its source, stepping awkwardly over rolls of carpet, bunches of dates, crates of crockery, and piles of gems. The king obviously hadn't been able to decide what he was going to leave behind on his journey, so he'd decided to play safe and take everything.
Only it doesn't always work quickly, Mort added somberly.
Isabel clambered gamely after him and peered over a canoe at a young girl sprawled across a pile of rugs. She was wearing gauze trousers, a waistcoat cut from not enough material, and enough bangles to moor a decent-sized ship. There was a green stain around her mouth.
Does it hurt? Said Isabel quietly.
No, they think it takes them to paradise.
Does it?
Maybe. Who knows?
Mort took the hourglass out of an inner pocket and inspected it by the gleam of the sword. He seemed to be counting to himself, and then with a sudden movement, tossed the glass over his shoulder and brought the sword down with his other hand. The girl's shade sat up and stretched with a clink of ghostly jewellery. She caught sight of Mort and bowed her head.
My lord.
No one's lord, said Mort. Now run along to wherever you believe you're going.
I shall be a concubine at the heavenly court of King Zetepshut, who will dwell among the stars for ever, she said firmly. You don't have to be, said Isabel sharply.
The girl turned to her, wide-eyed.
Oh, but I must. I've been training for it, she said, as she faded from view. I've only managed to be handmaiden up till now.
She vanished. Isabel stared with dark disapproval at the space she had occupied.